Well, will you turn please to those words that we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and starting at verse 41. And when he was come near, the Lord Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, coming over Mount Olivet, and as he comes towards Jerusalem, we read these words. When he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Now surely, amongst all the remarkable words that were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ, these must be amongst the most remarkable. It was spoken during crucifixion week. It was as he came near to the city, as he drew near to the city on Palm Sunday. We're going to also be flicking back to that passage, if you could possibly hold your fingers in two places in the Bible, to that passage that we read in Matthew chapter 23. We shall be referring to that occasionally. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And those words were also spoken on crucifixion week. In fact, they were spoken in the temple. They were spoken in a discourse that begins back in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. When he was come up into the temple, we read there, and then it carries on. And that's the ending of this temple discourse. And those were actually the last public words that the Lord Jesus spoke. Those were the last words of his public ministry. So there's a certain poignancy about these words. And no more would his voice sound out in the temple. No more would he speak aloud to the multitudes and to the disciples and to his enemies alike. He would speak to his disciples in private. But his public ministry was brought to an end with this word, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. And I want to look at these two verses together. That verse, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and the words in Luke 19 on that approach to Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. For 3 years he had taught them. For 3 years he had shown them miracle upon miracle. He had shown them sign upon sign. For 3 years he had pleaded with them, summoned them to believe in the light while they had the light. They had urged men and women at large to come to him, to believe upon him. He had called the weak and the heavy laden. He had called them to eat of the living bread, to repent and to believe the gospel. For 3 years he had ministered to them. He speaks in verse 42 of Luke's Gospel there about a day, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. This was their day. A day. A brief period of light. A time before darkness descends. This was their day. They had had that day. The people of Israel had had the light of the world amongst them. For 3 years, the Saviour of the world, the light of men, had preached and had taught, had loved and had laboured and had spoken to them and had given them sign upon sign. And that day was now drawing to a close. The evening was descending, the time when the Saviour, the light of the world, would be taken away. And by and large, the majority of people who rejected him, by and large, as we read in John's Gospel, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And soon they would show that in an unmistakable manner, where they would gather together and they would cry out, Crucify him, crucify him. And he would be taken, and he would be nailed to a cross, and he would be put to death by a hostile mob. And yet we read in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 23, that in doing this, in rejecting the Saviour, They were but continuing the work of their forefathers. That's why I read the whole of Matthew chapter 23, because that comes up very plainly when he speaks there about how they were continuing in the path that their forefathers had done. The Lord God had sent them prophets and wise men and scribes, and they crucified them and so forth. And in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 23, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. This was what Jerusalem had done down through all through the years. They had killed the prophets. They had stoned those who were sent unto them. They had put to death the ministers of God. We read the same thing in the Old Testament. Jeremiah spoke the same thing in his day. He said, I have even sent you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear. So here is the Saviour in these two different verses, so close in time. He said similar things. He lifts up his eyes. He looks out and he sees a city so privileged, a people who had so much light granted to them, and yet were impenitent, and hadn't seen the light, and hadn't beheld the light. And how does he feel? How does the Saviour feel as he looks out upon them? And we could say the same thing to ourselves. Perhaps there are some of you in this room tonight, and you have been in many gospel services, and for many, many, many months, maybe even years, you have heard the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. You have heard the things that God has done in order to open the gates of salvation and make a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Maybe you've been brought up in your families and you've heard these things. And perhaps there is no people in Hertfordshire more privileged than you to hear the things of God. And yet to this day, you have rejected them and you have turned your back upon them and had no time for them. And we have to say, how does Christ feel when he looks upon such a congregation as that? How does the Lord feel as he looks out upon a people so privileged and yet still impenitent? Oh, cast them off! I hate them! Push them away from my sight! And when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. He beheld the city and he wept over it. These words are filled with tender pity. Tender pity. This was no performance on the Saviour's part. He wasn't acting a piece here. This was no show. This was a display of his loving kindness. This was a display of the immense tender heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't weeping for himself. He wasn't weeping for what he was about to go through. But he sees what these people are doing, and he sees, we'll come to this later, he sees the terrible consequences that would follow their rejection. And I have to say, there are a few verses in Scripture that show the tender heart of God towards the impenitent quite so clearly as this verse here in Luke, and the verse that we have read in Matthew. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the pity that God has, even towards those who persist in their rejection of him. The Lord Jesus, in saying this, isn't disagreeing with the rest of Scripture. We mustn't get the idea that, you know, from Genesis to the book of Malachi, we have a hard, just and awesome God, and then in Jesus Christ we have something soft and mushy and malleable. No, the Lord Jesus represents fully to us the heart of God. And the heart of God towards those who reject him is shown here to be something which is very sincere, very tender, very gracious. All the way through the Bible we receive gospel invitations, invitations to men and women to repent and believe. And what we learn from this is all of these invitations that God gives are utterly genuine. There is no falsehood. When we read in the Bible things like this, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. When we read a great invitation like that, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Isaiah 45, verse 22. God means it. He is sincere as he holds out to sinners gospel offers and invitations to turn and repent to him. When he says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God means it. He is utterly sincere with all of his invitations. When he sent Ezekiel, and Ezekiel said to the people, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? When Ezekiel says that, he is representing a genuine and a sincere statement in the heart of God. God isn't sending Ezekiel to say these things, but there's some kind of reluctance and hardness in God's heart all at the same time. We get the same tenderness depicted for us in the Matthew verse, because Matthew's gospel, after the Lord Jesus has said those very moving words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, he says this, he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And this is a picture of a mother hen, and there is some kind of an enemy overhead, a harrier or some kind of bird of prey, and the mother chicken spreads out her wings, and the little ducklings or the little chickens come under the wings of the mother hen and are protected and are safe. And this is a picture that the Lord Jesus gives in himself. I was willing to do this for you. I would have protected you. I would have received you. I would have given you shelter from your dreadful enemies, the enemies of sin, the enemies of Satan, the enemies of this world, all the things that threaten our eternal souls. I would have taken you. And of course, the great picture there given for us is that this mother hen, she gathers her chickens under her wings. She is putting herself between her chicks and the terrible bird of prey that is overhead. And the Lord Jesus, in protecting and shielding his people, interposes himself. There is God. There is sin. There is wrath upon sin. There is a judgment of God about to be poured out upon the heads of sinners. But the Lord Jesus stands on the cross and takes their place. And the wrath of God falls upon him, so that he bears in his body, in excruciating agony upon the tree, all of the punishment for the guilt of his people that they should have experienced through endless years, crammed into a few short hours, thrust upon him upon the cross. And he bears it, and he bears it, and sheltered beneath him are all of his people, so that upon his own head falls all the curse, and all the judgment, and all the wrath, and all the evil that should have fallen upon his people. And he bears it. And he says to those impenitent ones, I would have received you. I would have taken you. I would have shielded you. Now you're going to have to face it for yourselves. Because you wouldn't have the remedy that God has offered. His heart is so tender. He is genuine in speaking these things. He is willing to receive rebellious and wicked men and women. The terms are given. The terms are given in these invitations. You must see your guilt. You must see your wretchedness. You must see your need to be pardoned and forgiven. You have sin to your record. You have sin and guilt upon your record. You know what sin is? Sin is transgression of the law. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have broken God's commandments. God is a pure and a holy God and cannot ignore our sin. Therefore, judgment must fall. Judgment will fall. And God has told us judgment will fall. But Christ has borne the judgment for his people. And all who will come to trust him and take shelter under his wings, who will humbly come to him and acknowledge their guilt and their sin and trust in his cross work, his atoning blood, only for their sins, such people shall be rescued and pardoned and forgiven and know that forgiveness that he offers. That's the great promise here. Dear friends, will you be one of those that continues to reject the Saviour Will you be one of those that continues to turn away from those gracious invitations that he offers? I come again to that statement that we had in Luke's Gospel. There is a day, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, there is a day given to us. A day, a brief period of time. A brief period when the light shines. A brief period when we must turn from our sins and trust the Lord. There is a day, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day. The day, light. The Bible deals with truth, you see. The Bible deals with truth. The Bible doesn't paint before us fairy stories and pictures and imaginations. The Bible puts before us truth. Like daylight shining, there is going to come a time when it's too late. But for the moment, in plain language, the gospel sun is shining. And the marvellous provision is being described. But there's only a time given during which this will last. And the night is coming. The night is coming when it will be too late to believe. When it will be too late to repent. When it will be too late to turn to the Saviour. When the door of heaven will be shut. And man will not say, let me in when Christ comes. But it's too late because you've rejected three of us. Or you die and you go to stand before him. If you die before the Son of God returns. You die, you go to stand before him. You're in his presence. And it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. Because you've sinned away the day of grace. You've allowed this brief life to go flying past you, and you filled it with all kinds of empty and vain things. And time after time the gospel has been preached, and the Saviour has wept over you, and he has said, if you had known, at least in this thy day, that the day is past, and the night is come, and you've been cast out into everlasting darkness, and it's too late. Oh friends, do not let that be you. Thank God the light is still shining. Thank God that it is not yet too late for men and women to repent and to believe. I have to ask a question. Why does the Saviour weep over impenitent souls? Well, the answer is that he has perfect knowledge of the future. He knows what will happen. In the case of this city of Jerusalem, in some 40 years later, in AD 70, the Roman armies came under Vespasian and Titus, and they surrounded the city. We can find it written in the history books, Josephus and Tacitus and people like that, and hundreds of thousands of people were butchered and put to death. The facts are recorded by history. The siege lasted 5 months, and in AD 70, it was actually September the 11th, believe it or not, the walls fell, the people were killed, and there was a massacre. And Christ's words were literally fulfilled to the letter. He saw what was going to happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen. That was God's judgment on the city of Jerusalem for their rejection of Christ. He saw exactly what was going to happen. The Lord sees the judgment that must fall on the heads of all those who reject him. He himself will one day sit as your judge. He himself will one day return, and the great throne will be set up, and all nations will be gathered before him. All men and women who have ever lived will be gathered before his throne, and he will separate them as a sheep, as sheep are separated from goats. And they will go to their eternal destinations. And he weeps as he looks upon this. Will you not hearken to his tender warnings? Will you not listen to what he has said? Consider the Lord Jesus. Consider him. He is a reliable witness. If he has said it, we can believe it. He is one filled with infinite wisdom. His very knowledge of the future, displayed in these verses, demonstrates that to us. He has infinite wisdom. He has perfect knowledge of everything that will happen. And therefore, we must pay attention to him. We must believe what he says. We must believe what he has spoken. Robert Murray McShane, a preacher, once told Robert Murray McShane he had preached on hell, and McShane said to him, "Were you able to preach it with tenderness? Here is a Saviour. Here is a Saviour, full of tender pity, full of pardoning mercy, willing to receive all who will repent and come to him, beholding the future that must come to pass for all who continue through this life of penitence. And yet, with those wonderful offers of mercy, he himself took the punishment. He was that mother chicken that bore the wrath of God for his people. Will you not turn to him? Go to him. Tell him your sin. Tell him your guilt. Flee to his tender sheltering wings. Ask him to be your saviour. And do it tonight. Amen.